You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Quarterback play largely defined your 2020 Chicago Bears, but Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles had very different experiences through the ups and downs of the year. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. On the show today, we'll start going back through position by position and grading the Chicago Bears on their 2020 season, beginning, of course, with the all-important quarterback position. We'll break down all that we saw from Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles this season, trying to separate a little bit their individual performances from the rest of the team performance, while also making sure we apply the proper context to their individual performances based on what they were dealing with. And so as a result, we'll also take more of a general look at grading the supporting cast as a whole. So over the coming days and weeks here on the Locked On Bears podcast, I want to go position by position and hand out grades for all of the groups and all of the players to try and get a sense of where this roster stands after 2020. But we're not necessarily going to do it every single day here for the next 10 podcasts in a row or however many it ends up taking us. We're going to mix in some other things along the way. The Bears will likely hire a defensive coordinator somewhere in there. I've got some guest interview lines up to talk about the Bears as well. So it's not just going to be 10 straight days of positional grades, but we're going to sprinkle them in here throughout. And of course, starting with the all-important quarterback position. It was so critical to everything this team was doing through the wins and the losses, really. But yet, I find it to be particularly hard to separate them individually and grade them outside of everything else that was going on around them. Because, of course, neither quarterback was well-supported for the majority of the season, right? They figured it out down the stretch with Mitch Trubisky, but for a lot of this year, there was a lot more going wrong than just the play under center, but the play under center was also an issue a large portion of the time. So, like, Mitch's season obviously doesn't start out as strong as you would like, you know, requiring some fourth quarter late game efforts early on there against the Lions, and then not as smooth as you'd like against the Giants, and then falling behind too early against the Atlanta Falcons, leading to his benching. And it's hard to give a super positive grade to a quarterback who is benched three games into the season and didn't see the starting lineup again until injury really forced the Bears' hand. He didn't play particularly well in his first game back against the Green Bay Packers, although the Packers are maybe a different level of measuring stick than most of their other opponents. But even the game against Detroit was efficient, but not over-the-top explosive plays either, but it was steps in the right direction that we saw really take off against the Texans, the Vikings, and the Jaguars for the next 3 weeks before really tailing off once again in back-to-back losses to end the year against the Packers and the Saints, the real quality opponents that we knew would be the true measuring stick and the test of just how much progress Trubisky and this Bears offense had done. So we're left with a quarterback that played well against bad opponents and struggled against good opponents. And that leaves me feeling pretty middle of the pack. Like, he's still not a quarterback that elevates the level of play of the players around him. He's still a quarterback that struggles to run a traditional NFL offense, to read full field progressions and be consistently accurate attacking the middle of the field, but still a quarterback you can win football games with. And so I find myself coming back to, like, the C grade range, you know, average at best. We didn't see the, like, truly exceptional four-quarter Mitch Trubisky performance. The Houston Texans game came pretty close, but I feel like over the last few seasons of Mitch, you know, we've seen him play at an extremely high level against the Detroit Lions in some of those games. And we've seen those flashes. Even think back to the Buccaneers game in 2018 where it's just like Mitch turns it on, even though it's a bad opponent, turns it on for this like dominant level of production. And even in that Texans game, there were still mistakes, there were still forced throws, and there was still a lot of the work being done after the catch. And that's not specifically Mitch's fault per se, but it's not something he deserves as much credit for either. So I lean a little closer to a C- for Trubisky. I think a C quarterback is right there at average, and I put him just a step below average. I don't think there's any way I can put him at a B or certainly not an A level of quarterback performance, especially down the stretch against the Packers and the Saints started to show you that, hey, the rest of the NFL kind of figured out how the Bears were being successful with Trubisky, found ways to shut it down and limit its production, and that ultimately reflects poorly on his overall individual performance and just the amount of effort it took around him to be able to support and prop that up to be successful is not a strong reflection either. The offense clearly had specific limitations with Trubisky under center, and it had different limitations with Nick Foles under center. And that's what makes it difficult to kind of compare them side by side, especially because they had very different situations that they found themselves in terms of scheme, play calling, health of the offense, and just generally the strength of the supporting cast around them was different at different stages of the season. We'll try and apply some of that context to Nick Foles' performance and hand out a grade next on Locked On Bears. You're one of a kind, and so are your taxes. That's why TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver and have questions about what qualifies as a deduction. Maybe you want an expert to walk you through the process since most of your income last year came from freelance jobs. Or maybe you'd like to hand the whole tax filing process off to an expert while you perfect your banana bread recipe. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert do the filing for you, TurboTax Live experts are here to help, giving you the confidence to know that your one-of-a-kind, uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. This episode is also brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring that launched exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. Again, this exciting limited collection of diamond engagement rings launched on January 18th, and you can view it exclusively at BlueNile.com. The Bears' limitations with Mitch Trubisky under center were different than the limitations with Nick Foles. With Mitch, there wasn't room for much vertical offense. There wasn't room for a wide variety of concepts or complex reads for the quarterback or just the full depth of Andy Reid offensive plays that Matt Nagy was most comfortable with. Obviously, with Mitch, they had to switch to more of a Shanahan-style outside zone play action rollout type offense that made things much easier for Trubisky and were a better fit for Mitch Trubisky's skill set, but you lost something in terms of the potential for more explosive plays other than the ones that were directly manufactured by scheme and play calling. Think trick plays and the big shot to Javon Wims. Nick Foles clearly had a better grasp of how to run this offense, how to go through full field reads, how to read coverages, and how to open up the playbook a little bit more in the ways that Matt Nagy wanted to. But that didn't lead to better quarterback production or better offensive production either. I mean, I think we saw a glimpse of what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy envisioned when they traded for Nick Foles, particularly down the stretch there in week 3 against the Atlanta Falcons, the big comeback drive. It felt like this offense had just kind of turned up another level, that things had opened up a little bit more, and it was like, oh, yeah, that's why they brought in Nick Foles. That's why they benched Mitch Trubisky. It all added up right in that moment and seemed to justify some of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace's decision at that time. Or even the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers that are in the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. Nick Foles leads the fourth quarter comeback drive, ultimately had to settle for a field goal, but that field goal was the difference. It gave the Bears the lead, and of course, the defense does a good job of holding on there and breaking up Tom Brady's pass on fourth down. It's not the same Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Buccaneers that are playing in the playoffs right now, but still, it was an impressive win and a solid comeback for Nick Foles at the end of that game, in a game where he had zero help from his running game and limited help from his offensive line. Yes, he threw an interception. I mean, we don't have to go through the merits of each and every Nick Foles performance, but there were some highlights there. And there were some things that we saw from him in terms of a more vertical passing game that were not there with Mitch Trubisky. But obviously, some drastic limitations in terms of mobility and also some issues with the supporting cast at that time, the same issues that Mitch Trubisky dealt with in terms of offensive line issues being a problem, but those issues being magnified when a quarterback like Nick Foles was under center. And also, Nick Foles seemed a little more careless with the football. He was not a guy that was like trying to just throw it all over and make big plays, but he put the ball in harm's way a little bit more than you would like to see. And it was largely disappointing as it lingered on and on, of course, culminating in his injury against the Minnesota Vikings and Tyler Bray coming in and showing you just how much worse it could be. But it at the same time, I can see where Foles maybe didn't get quite the same shake as Trubisky in terms of the offensive line injuries and the different combinations there, the abandoning of the running game over and over again. And yet, it still doesn't feel like Foles in a vacuum, separate from that, was all that more effective than Trubisky. Like, I really kind of come back to a similar grading point in that C to D range for Foles. Because there were some really, I think, difficult moments there. Some really tough game. You know, the Rams game was particularly bad. He didn't do all that well against the Carolina Panthers in the week before. Certainly, the last game against the Vikings was not great prior to his injury. I thought he held on pretty well against the Tennessee Titans in particular. But again, it never felt like a four-quarter pretty performance from Foles, and he was always having to throw, you know, 40 to 50 times a game. If you look at his pass attempts per game, you see 42, 42, 39, 40, 41, 52 in six consecutive weeks. That's not really how you want to be operating the Nick Foles offense. And maybe it makes you wonder if there could be more there for him with a better supporting cast. And that's what makes it a little bit difficult to judge him in a vacuum from those, because there were some good performances, there were some bad ones in there, and that's kind of what we come to expect from Nick Foles. But I still struggle to grade him higher than Trubisky by any means, just from what we saw over the course of the full season. I kind of have Foles in this D+, C- range, and I'm not sure, and I'm trying to avoid recency bias because Trubisky's who we've seen last, and we saw Trubisky play better after we saw Nick Foles hurt, but there's so much in terms of these being quarterbacks that need help around them. They need slightly different help around them, but neither one is a quarterback that is designed to do it all by himself. They're not that caliber of quarterback. And I feel like, separate from exactly how they performed in 2020, Foles has the higher ceiling if you put a better supporting cast around him, whereas it felt like we saw a lot of Trubisky's ceiling against the Texans, the Vikings, and the Jaguars, and that works really well against bad teams, but we've seen Nick Foles be better with stronger teams around him. And so I think they're pretty neck and neck from what we saw in 2020, but you can see why the Bears might be more inclined to keep rolling with Foles moving forward as opposed to re-signing Mitch Trubisky. You can see where the undercurrent of all this quarterback discussion is the offensive line, the running game, the wide receivers, the coaches, the defense, everything else that goes to support a quarterback's success, that goes beyond just how accurate he is on his throws, how good is he at reading coverages and progressions and executing the play call in front of him. It's such a up and down spot for what the Bears had this season. It's going to be really hard to put an actual grade on it. But we'll try. Next on Locked On Bears. Right now, betonline.ag has an incredible selection of prop bets. Of course, Deshaun Watson's next team. Leading odds favorite is Miami Dolphins, followed by New York Jets and Carolina Panthers. The Bears come in way down tied at 10th with the Los Angeles Rams and San Francisco 49ers, just behind the Raiders and Patriots. So maybe don't get your hopes up too high there, but also a special of will Jared Goff start for the Rams week one next season? And which quarterback will start week one for the Saints next season? And a bunch of fun Super Bowl odds about different commercials, the halftime show, when COVID or the pandemic will be mentioned, the coin toss, the Gatorade color, so many more things that you can't even possibly imagine. They've got odds for it at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. For a lot of the season, the supporting cast around the quarterbacks was not good enough. And it was kind of a weird back and forth, depending on which position group and which aspect of the team was up and down at different times, and it all kind of makes it difficult to evaluate as a whole. But I wanted to specifically juxtapose that with the quarterback grades as well, because I think it's important context to kind of keep in mind as you think about what Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles were able to accomplish this season. Like I said, I still want to go through each group within the supporting cast individually, because there's some nuance there that gets lost in just saying quarterbacks versus everybody else. But I think it's important to kind of make sure that we understand that Foles and Trubisky were sometimes seeming like a little bit out there alone, or just not getting enough support from everyone else that's there to support the quarterback. Like, it was weird because, like, the first three or so games of the season, the Bears were running the ball pretty well. They were sticking to the running game. They were mixing it up. It wasn't just the David Montgomery experience. They were giving Tariq Cohen some carries and Cordero Patterson some carries. But they were having some success running the ball, certainly a lot more than they were during the losing streak. And the offensive line, while maybe not perfect and not top of the line, they were generally getting the job done. They were giving the quarterback decent time to throw. They were creating some room to run. And the defense early on there was generating some turnovers. They were stopping the run pretty well. They weren't allowing any massive performances. Maybe quality of opponent was a factor in some of this all around, with the Lions, Giants, and Falcons not being the best teams the Bears played all season. But regardless, it was an encouraging start from the group around the quarterback. But then, you know, as you get into that second quarter of the season, you have James Daniels go on injured reserve. Tariq Cohen goes on injured reserve. And the offensive line shakeups and combinations start. Matt Nagy forgets how to run the ball. I mean, the Bears went, what, I think 6 or 7 straight weeks without topping 100 yards rushing as a team, in some part because they stopped handing it off, in some part because the offensive line just wasn't good enough, but the pass protection wasn't good enough for a while there as well. Receivers weren't making as many plays after the catch with the ball in their hand. Some of that comes back to coaching. Some of that comes back to scheme. Some of that comes back to ball placement from the quarterback. Some of it comes back to, well, they were so one-dimensional as an offense because they couldn't run the ball, because the offensive line was so bad, because the coach, I mean, all these different compounding factors, because they were so one-dimensional, it was easier for defenses to key in on receivers and, you know, stop the passing game and to focus on the pass rush to get to Nick Foles and make the offensive line's job so much more difficult. It compounded really in every way. But, you know, once they get out of that bye week, they find this offensive line combination that they stick with. They stick with the running game. They find some rushing success with that offensive line combination. And all of a sudden, with Trubisky back in there, it's the most well-rounded Bears offense we've seen certainly since 2018, if not in Matt Nagy's entire tenure as Bears head coach. But it all starts to fall apart again against the Packers and the Saints in the final two games, and we're left kind of picking up the pieces like, okay, how much does this supporting cast need to be upgraded in addition to this quarterback position? For me, this was a D-level supporting cast. And when I take in the whole season combined, like I think through the first 3 weeks, it was, it felt like a team that was had pretty much everything except the quarterback play. And that's why the Bears made the quarterback change. And then they really didn't have anything for a while. And then everything started coming together at the end against bad teams. But it still never felt like the supporting cast was exceptional. And only for small portions of the season did it feel like it was good enough. It felt like the Bears were always either being let down by their offensive line / running game or playmakers not making enough plays. Like, they never felt like the Bears receivers were dominating, in large part because the quarterback play wasn't where it needed to be, but it was like flashes from Darnell Mooney that were very encouraging for a fifth-round pick. And it was flashes from Anthony Miller, and then he disappeared for 4 or 5 weeks. Or it was occasional plays from Cordarrelle Patterson that get you excited. Or Javon Wims makes a catch or two here or there. But, like, you know, the tight end position was a lot of red zone and not a lot else. Not a lot of, like, big explosive plays anywhere on this offense other than the running back. And that wasn't until the offensive line started to come in together. Plus, if you start to include the coaching staff in terms of the supporting cast, that drags everything down a little bit more. And then the defense really losing its moxie, losing its reputation a little bit in that second half of the season out of the bye week, allowing a lot of points, blowing some leads, making things more difficult than it needed to be, and not supporting the quarterback enough. Like, that brings the grade down for me, down to this D level. I think if you take out the coaches and the defense, you know, maybe you could start up, you know, in this C range. Not that the defense itself brings it down entirely a ton, because the defense was the only thing going for this team for a little while there during the losing streak, but they certainly had their issues at the end that leave a sour taste in your mouth too. But it was just a mess of not having anything working at the same times. Whenever they'd get good receiver play or good defensive play, the offensive line was falling apart. Or when the offensive line started playing really well down the stretch, the defense was struggling and quarterback play was up and down. It was never the right things all coming together at the right time. Something was always going wrong. And you can point a lot of blame on that to the coaching staff. You can point a lot of blame on that to COVID and injuries. You can point a fair amount of blame on that to the general manager not supplying enough talent in terms of offensive line depth and explosive weapons at the different receiver positions, and maybe running back depth down the stretch there and defensive depth. I mean, there's blame to go all around. And it's not just the supporting cast. It's not just the quarterbacks. It's not just the defense. It's not just the offensive line. It's not just the coach. It's not just the general manager. And that's what makes it so hard to kind of pick up the pieces here and move ahead to 2021, because everybody deserved some portion of the blame. And you can't replace everybody. So you kind of have to look at, okay, big picture, you know, longer careers, look beyond 2020. Who has been more consistent? Who has been there for you? Who has been reliable, even if they weren't as reliable in 2020? Because maybe it was just such an exceptional year with COVID, changing the practice schedule, changing the offseason. There was so much going on as to factors that could lead to a team not having as much success outside of football, that some of it could also be a little bit of an anomaly that obviously affected other teams less. I mean, of course, four teams have to advance to the championship game, two teams have to advance to the Super Bowl, and teams are always going to look better. There's built-in parity in the NFL, and there's always going to be winners and losers during the season, but the Bears, obviously, bigger losers for too large a portion of the season compared to the winners. So it's messy. That doesn't mean it's not fixable. That doesn't mean there's not a lot to work with and a lot to build from moving forward, but it's going to take some real hard evaluating and some difficult questions to ask themselves and answer, and a variety of needs that need to be filled, some free agents to re-sign, some salary cap issues to try and sort through. There's a lot to do, and there's a lot for us to go through in all of it on the Locked On Bears podcast. So I hope that you'll subscribe to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis, because we're going to try and parse through all of it. We'll bring on some expert guests. You've heard Brad Spielberger before. He's our resident salary cap expert. He's the best of the best at that. I'm sure we'll get him on when we find out more about where the Bears stand financially and what kind of free agent decisions we have going on. I want to bring on some different guests that maybe you haven't heard on this podcast before, but you're certainly familiar with elsewhere, to kind of give us their perspective on how they might go about fixing this Bears team and getting back on track. So you're going to hear some different voices this offseason. We're going to try and have some fun with it. We're going to do some different things. I hope you'll follow along with us. I appreciate those of you who have been following along with us throughout the season and now into the offseason, or if you joined us late, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. I hope you'll have as much fun as we will along the way. And the one thing I will always promise is to make sure you bear down.